prayed already, but let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this morning and the privilege to come with a bunch of guys here and to fellowship and joke around and to chew on your word. Father, I pray that as you have already been in our midst, that you would be speaking to our hearts, Lord, that you would be the one speaking through me, and that you would be glorifying yourself, and that you would just communicate to our hearts exactly what you want us to hear this morning, and that I would get out of the way, and hopefully I would be able to communicate Christ to these men here. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And believe it or not, this is a little too high.
Why?
So, it is a lot of work to prepare a message. It is so much work. I know from teaching Sunday school years ago, there was more of a script, and it was more kind of already spelled out, and you can embellish that. But to come up with a topical and be able to deliver it in an organized fashion, it's a lot of work. So everybody that's been teaching, you know, I've not spoken and taught for years, and I've forgotten exactly how many hours it takes to do that. So this morning we're going to talk about we're going to get there about outside the camp, and we're going to talk about the leper and about the cleansing of the leper, and we're going to bring it back to being outside the camp. So I pray, and if you have questions, I don't think I'll mind you raising your hand and saying, what about this? But let's get started. So once again, thank you so much for letting me share in front of you. There's nothing special about me, nothing special about Ken or Scott. It's just that we answered and said yes, and Chris. But no, Chris is special. It's nothing special about us. There's no earth-shattering revelation that we're going to be delivering to you. It's Jesus speaking through us. It's probably something that we've heard before that we want to communicate to you, and it's been on our hearts to communicate to you. So I just pray that God would be glorifying himself and revealing himself, because a finite man cannot reveal an infinite God. It's going to be God who reveals himself. And I just pray that in my delivery that you won't get hung up on the way that I phrase things, the way that I deliver things, or maybe miss a point, but that you would catch the overall gist of what I'm saying. And that is going to be outside the camp. There are many pictures in the Bible, and what would you rather have? Would you rather have a picture, or would you have the reality? I love my wife. She goes on vacations without me sometimes, and I have a picture of her, and it's great. I can be reminded of her, but I would rather have the reality. If I was camping, I don't want a picture of a fire. I want the reality. I want a fire. I want the real thing. So there are pictures in the Bible, and the one that we're going to be talking about is leprosy, and it's a picture about sin. It's a picture that the Bible uses of a sinful person, and I just pray that as we talk about that picture and everything that it means, and about Jesus interacting with lepers and that sort of thing, that we can just get the reality and set the picture aside, as important as it is, and embrace Jesus and how he interacts with us. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. In the same way that leprosy corrupts the physical body, sin corrupts man spiritually. Leprosy is also a picture of sin because back then it was incurable, either by man's efforts or any other tinctures, in the same way that sin is incurable except for the by the blood of Jesus for both things. There was no Jewish... Did you have something?
No.
There was no Jewish person that ever got cured of leprosy until Jesus came on the scene. Miriam had it, Naaman had it, and Uzziah had it, but none of them were Jewish cleansed by Jesus. Leprosy isn't a fun topic to talk about. It's actually a horrible disease. I know maybe in the past I might have joked around with jokes about leprosy, but I don't want to touch on that. Would you believe that there's actually 200,000 new cases of leprosy in the year in the world every year, and about 200 new cases in the U.S. every year? It's known as Hansen's disease. Over the past 20 years, there's been 20 million cases that have been treated. So in today's society, I'm a nurse, I'm kind of a nerd in that, but there's a multi-drug therapy that takes care of the symptoms, but it's actually not curing the disease. And I thought, man, that's pretty quick. 20 million cases in 20 years. That's a lot of cases. So they're getting better at it, but they still haven't cured it. I had always understood it as an outward skin disease, which caused the body parts to rot off, losing fingers and non-healing wounds and that sort of thing. But in reality, it's a disease inwardly of the nerves. I was talking with John about his wife, Laura. She had this neck fusion because the nerves caused this tingling in her fingers. So the nerves and the myelin sheath and all the network, that is what gets diseased. And what happens is, since your nerves cause that numbness in your fingertips, you eventually can't feel at all. It's a progressive disease. Oftentimes it takes 20 years to actually kill the person. Can you imagine dealing with leprosy for 20 years? So it's an inward disease. And I want you to think about the picture of sin and the picture of sin working on us. Now, there's sin that we're born with, and then there's sin on the daily life that we're going to touch on later here. But the sin, just like leprosy, is leprosy is an inward picture of sin. Spreads throughout the whole body, and it isn't visible at first. So in the Old Testament, when the leper had to present himself to the priest, it might not have been leprosy. It might just been a sore on his skin, and the priest had to analyze the skin. The reason lepers lose their fingers and hands and toes, because they're non-healing. They'll injure themselves, and then they can't recognize that it's an injury, and it gets infected, and it spreads, and then that's when you start losing fingers and toes, and it can spread through the whole body. In addition to losing body parts, lepers often have a terrible odor because of those infections of their wounds. Another symptom of leprosy, the way that it manifests itself, is it can be heard because it affects the vocal cords, like a raspy voice. You can't speak clearly. You can't articulate things. It also affects your clothing. What you wear is affected by that, and it actually can be infected into your house. So in summary, leprosy infects you entirely. Cannot be hidden. Leprosy causes a distance between you and your loved ones slowly and progressively. And as we're going to see in Leviticus 13, it actually is a banishment away from your community, away from your loved ones, away from community with God in a sense, because you can't go to the temple and you can't worship God where God has manifested himself. Sin must be cleansed, just like with leprosy. Leprosy can't be the person with leprosy was never healed. They were cleansed. just like we need a cleansing of our sin. So leprosy begins inwardly, and then it festers, and eventually you can see it outwardly, publicly. The person who had leprosy didn't realize it at first. At first, it might just been a slight loss of sensation, and then it gets to the symptoms that I was telling you about that. Leprosy, just like sin, there's a terrible odor with leprosy that can actually drive others away, just like sin. If there's sin that I'm dealing with and that I'm choosing to rebel, it can actually repel others, and it can actually force me to even self-banish myself. And other lepers don't really like other lepers' smell either. As strange as it may seem. Sin, just like leprosy, affects your vocal cords. It affects the way that you speak, the way that you form your sentences, the way that you address other people, the way that you care for other people can come out in your vocal cords through your speech, just like leprosy. Sin also affects your clothing. I don't know if this really affects us as guys, but a lot of times the females, sin is affects the way that they wear their clothing. But you know, there's a lot of times that people wear dark clothes, and it's just this gloomy overcast of them. And I wonder if that's an outward expression of what's going on in their hearts. It also affects the way that you decorate your house and your other possessions. I don't want to get into specific things, but when the leper was being assessed and everything, they needed to make sure that the house wasn't affected either. So this sin can affect the way that you, it affects your whole person, your whole being, your everything that you are choosing to, everything that you choose can be affected by the leprosy. It's God's picture of separation from God and man. In Leviticus 13, and I probably won't read the whole thing because it's a lot of verses, and I'm not going to talk about everything. I'm going to summarize 13. If you wanted to turn there, you can. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It talks about the inspection of the leper, how they're supposed to be treated if they had a spot on their body. And basically, they had to be assessed and set outside, and then a week later, they got assessed again. If it did not go away, well, if it did go away, it was just a scab, and it's fine. But if it didn't go away in 2 weeks, they were quarantined. They were banished out of the community, out of the camp, outside of the camp. Back then, that's when the Israelites were going through the desert on their way from Egypt to the Promised Land. And it carried over into Jesus' time. There were leper colonies, and there was rules that they couldn't come in. There was a certain distance, and they were fearing that it was contagious. And a lot of times, it was contagious. This meant that they were out of fellowship. Out of fellowship with God because they were ceremonially unclean. They couldn't go to the place where God was manifested to worship Him. They weren't allowed to be around non-infected people. Same way with sin. Can you see how this is really a picture of sin? But leprosy was incurable. They couldn't cure themselves. There was no self-help that they could clean their skin, just like with sin. You can't self-help yourself to get cleansed from sin. But what is not possible with man is possible with Jesus. Only Jesus could cleanse the leper. This can't just be about salvation. It's a great picture of original sin, about us being affected with sin, coming to Jesus and cleansing us, and you get salvation. But I don't think it's just about that. I think it's about our what's that? I think it's about our daily walk also. And we're going to get to 1 John and talk about how do we get cleansed through Jesus? So in Leviticus 14, it talks about the cleansing of the leper. There's so many parallels. It's amazing. So, like I said before, there was nobody in the Old Testament until Jesus came that was cleansed of leprosy. And the rabbis back then actually thought that that would be one of the key things that would be a sign to the Messiah, that since nobody else was cleansed, that Jesus would be the one, that the Messiah would be the one that cleansed the leper. But we see how they treated Jesus. They put him, he was crucified outside the camp. If a person was cleansed of leprosy, he was outside the camp, the priest had to go to him, just like Jesus identifies with us. He comes to us outside the camp to be cleansed. It says that if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, it doesn't talk about the leper being cleansed. So it talks about the leprosy being healed. So if you have a hang up with that word healed versus me saying he was cleansed, it was the leprosy that was healed, but it was the leper that was cleansed. It talks about two birds that the priest needed to perform this ceremony in. It talks about two live clean birds. It talks about cedar wood, a scarlet string, and hyssop for the one to be cleansed. There's a couple ways of looking at what the two birds represent and that sort of thing, but as best as I can tell, the two birds can mean the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The bird that was slain was in an earthen vessel, just like Jesus was dying for us. The cedar wood could mean the cross. And a live bird with a scarlet string and the hyssop being dipped in the blood and put on the slain bird and setting it free can be like Jesus. You see, the picture kind of breaks down. But us being set free by the blood of Jesus and being good. Free in the open field, cleansed. I don't want to focus on that though. So after this was performed, and after the priest looked at him, he shall pronounce him clean. And this was done by the priest going outside the camp, and then he had to shave himself. And then he could enter the camp for 7 days, shave himself again. But then, there is more to it in the later verses. The priest had to sacrifice a lamb. And I know that there's a couple of different lambs here. But the priest took some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear, the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he takes some oil, puts it in the left hand, sprinkles it 7 times, but then he takes that oil, puts it on the same place as the blood was, the lobe, the thumb, and the big toe. Isn't that cool? So the blood, as it's applied to our ear, toe, and what did I say? Ear, thumb, and big toe. Also, the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? Is it just a ceremony? No, I think I just alluded to that. I spilled the beans prematurely. It's just not a bunch of rules. Just like I said, you cleansing yourself of your sin and trying to get right and trying to get that sin out of your life, whatever it may be. It may be a daily sin or chronic sin. It might just be rebellion that you're choosing to say no to God and you're actually rebelling. I believe the anointing of blood on the ear, toe, and thumb represented the cleansing of Jesus' blood. It cleanses everything you touch, everything you hear, and everywhere that you walk or have walked by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle that's cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Let's see the example in the New Testament. The very first miracle, one of the very first specific miracles in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is about the cleansing of the leper. Isn't this interesting? The very specific miracle is about Jesus cleansing the leper. And aside from Peter falling at Jesus' feet, calling him Lord, this is the first time that Jesus was called Lord in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians says that no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The title Lord was only used by the faithful in Scripture. I'm assuming that this person at least had a reverence for Jesus, had a respect for Jesus, but when he bowed down to Jesus, I'm inclined to say that he either wanted a relationship with Jesus, had a relationship with Jesus. That's beyond my specific assessment there. He asked Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What was he really expecting? Think about it. He was in this leper colony outside the camp by law. He had to come in. He couldn't approach people within 6 feet, and that's like 150 feet on a windy day.
Social distancing
is not a new thing. So he was breaking all kinds of rules, all kinds of laws. But what was more important to him was communion with Jesus, was getting touched by Jesus. And he just said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He wasn't asked to be healed. He was actually asked to be cleansed. He risked being arrested. He risked infecting others who knew who he was. What barriers do we need to cross to come to Jesus today? As Christians, there is a distance when we rebel against God and we say no and we choose to do our own thing. But then on a daily basis, we do sin also, not necessarily rebellion. What did Jesus say or do? Did he say, oh, it's okay, the law doesn't matter anymore, just come to me? No. Did he say that he approved what he had done? If we use that picture, does he approve of the sin that we choose, that we rebel to live in? Did he say, I know you're outcast and banished, and I know you're dealing with the repercussions of your sin. You just have to deal with it on your own. Just stay banished from everyone, and you just stay there and don't infect anybody else. No. Did he embarrass him? No. The leper came to Jesus, and Jesus cleansed him. Do you feel isolated by your sin, this secret sin that might be manifesting itself out? Do you feel a lack of communion? Do you feel a distance from the Lord? Do you have numbness and lack of pain from your sins that you're in? Is your speech affected by your sin? Do you stink? I think about 1 John 1:6 through 9, and this is awesome. Talks about cleansing us from our sin. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie, we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light himself, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses his the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and truth is not within us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can't say that we have fellowship with him if we're choosing to rebel against him. I'm not talking about just sinning on a day-to-day basis. However, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, I think this is the light that he gives us. As much light as you have been revealed by Jesus, if you walk in that light, I think that's what it's talking about here. Is if we walk in the light as he is in the light, I'm not chasing down every rabbit hole, every trail and everything. This is my basic understanding of this. There's probably a lot more theological things that can be said about this, but if we walk in the light that's been given to us, and we're loving Jesus, and we're seeking him, and we want a more intimate union with him, I believe this is saying that that is going to be cleansing us from our sin, from all sin. In the same way that the leper was cleansed from sin, just like when the blood is applied to the ear, thumb, and toe, Jesus' blood cleanses us from everything we touch, hear, and walk. Jesus wants us to have a close, intimate union with us. Isn't that amazing that the God of the universe in flesh came down and he says, not only do I love you, but I'm in love with you. If you're committing a sin on purpose and you're rebelling, then I believe verse 9 applies to you. Because you're walking in darkness and say no to the light that's been revealed to you, you need to confess that. And you need to confess that sin of rebellion. He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are we willing to come to Jesus and ask him to cleanse us? Jesus didn't give a second thought. Absolutely. And he touched us and restored him. He restored his sin. Restored his sin-ridden body, leprosy-ridden body. The point is that Jesus wants you to come to him to restore fellowship with him. And he wants to remind us that as we're walking with him, cleanses us from all sin. I don't want to be confession-centered. And I think this is what I'm getting to. I want to be Christ-centered. I don't want to have this passage so focused that we keep a confession journal or a prayer journal or a list of sins that we've been delivered from or anything like that, because I think that would be eccentric. I think that would be off-center. I think that would not be us seeking Jesus. I think what it wants us to focus on is to us to be walking in fellowship with Jesus and see what miracles will happen. Like I said, Jesus not only loves you, but he's in love with you, and he can't wait to have a more intimate union with you. In closing, I want to talk about Hebrews 13, being outside the camp. So just like the leper was outside the camp, Jesus was crucified outside the camp. He was basically being treated like a leper, if you really think about what the whole picture is, if I'm correlating it with the leper. He was crucified outside the camp. He was banished outside of what represented the religious camp. There's a lot of things that we do that is religion and not relationship. He was rejected by the religious leaders that represents the religious symptoms, religious system. He didn't play religion. He pursued relationships. And as he was crucified outside the camp, that means he can identify with us as sinners. He can identify with us as lepers. He became sin for us as our substitute. There might be some people here that need to go out that are outside the camp. But that's cool because Jesus comes to you outside the camp. He wants to have communion with you, deep, intimate relationship with you. There might be some people here that have misconceptions of Jesus, what a Christian life is, what a relationship with Jesus is. If this is the case, go to Jesus who is already outside the camp. Hebrews 13:12 says, therefore Jesus, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, not the blood of a lamb and goats and that sort of thing, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp bearing his reproach. So, what kind of reproach did Jesus have? What kind of reproach might you have if you start throwing off the religion, the going through the motions, and not having that fellowship with Jesus? What reproach? You know, the people in the religious symptoms might look at you kind of strange. But I say, just like the leper who came to Jesus, come to him. Ask him to be cleansed. Ask you to be cleansed. he was cast out outside of the camp. So whatever camp you're in, misunderstanding, misconception, just plain religion, if it's not a camp of pursuing more intimate union with Jesus, then I encourage you to go outside the camp where he is. This pursuit might just look strange to others as certain religious things might start dropping off. And then as you are with Jesus and have that intimate union with him, and it might actually look strange how that spontaneous generation of those religious looking acts start coming out of your union with Jesus. You see, Christians do Christian things. Christians do outreach. They witness. They read their Bible. They study. They do all that. But if you do it in the flesh, it's not really what Jesus wants. But if it comes out of that intimate union with Jesus and it comes out spontaneously, that is what he really wants you to let him do. Jesus wants to cleanse you, not in your flesh, not just in your flesh. Not just the outward visible signs, but he wants to cleanse you of the inward infection. Just like it was an inward disease that got communicated outward on the flesh so that it could be seen, he desires intimate union with you. So I hope I communicated a large truth to you, and I hope that I didn't mess up any of the pictures that are in the Bible. But Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this time you've granted us today. And I just pray, Lord, that we would just be continually reminded that that you love us and that you want a more intimate union with us. Jesus, I pray that you would show us more light so that we can walk in more light as you are in the light, Lord. I pray that you give us the courage to come to you to be cleansed as lepers. And I just pray, Lord, that we would have this in our heart, that we would know that you are willing and you're able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, thank you for this time. Pray that you would just be revealing yourself more and more light. In Jesus' name, amen. Comments? Questions?